Sure, humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Pet World Insider, where we take you inside the world of pets, pet products, pet places, and share amazing pet stories. I'm your host, Robert Semro, and it is good to be a Pet World Insider. So many great things going on in the pet world, and thank you all for joining us. We have got a lot going on this hour. Going to be a great hour. We are kicking things off here, though, with a very good friend of ours, someone we respect tremendously. He is an author, a dog trainer extraordinaire, truly a leader in the industry, someone who has done a lot to shape the training world. I want to welcome to the show the CEO and president of the Animal Behavior College, as well as the president and CEO of the Animal Behavior and Training Associates, Inc., Steve Applebaum. Steve, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It is our pleasure, my friend. Listen, I want to ask you right off the bat, how did you get started? Because I think it's a great story, and it kind of tell the history of where the industry started and has come from.
Well, gosh, I mean, I was, back a million years ago when dinosaurs ruled the earth. I was a professional dog trainer, and I was doing almost all private lessons. But I realized that I wanted to expand my market, aside from the fact that I could only work with people privately so far before I realized that they were going to need to get into a group situation for socialization, working with distractions, and so on and so forth. I also recognized that there were a lot of people that just couldn't afford private lessons or didn't need them. And so at the time, I was getting the majority of my business from veterinary referral and for personal referral. And so I didn't want to go to my already existing referral sources and basically tell them, look, I've got this new program that's a fraction of the cost of my other one, because I didn't want to build one business at the expense of the other.
Sure.
So instead, I decided to go to pet stores and talk to them. And through a combination of circumstances, I came up with, at the time, was a somewhat novel approach, which was to walk in there, and instead of basically just saying, refer me, I'm good, you know, here's 8,000 letters of referral, and, you know, it'll be good for you to be able to send your clients to me because, well, that'll be good for me. instead, what I said was, look, you guys sell product and I don't. I do training and you don't. It seems as though we ought to be able to put something together in which I conduct at least some of the training classes here at your store. Everybody's going to need equipment, or most people will, which you guys will sell. So that'll be a win for you. It'll be a win for me because I'm going to be able to have classes here, hopefully with some of your customers as my students. And as simple as it sounds, they really had never been approached that way before, a real partnership. So I did that, and I got lucky, which was the store that I had initially reached out to and started to work with was purchased by Petco. And so I connected with Petco back in the 80s, and as a result of that, ultimately wound up with a company that was teaching all of their obedience classes at its peak in about 45 states. But I realized then that there was another challenge, and the challenge was I couldn't find trainers to staff all of these locations.
Right.
And even the trainers I was finding, there was a real inconsistency as far as methodology, skill sets, knowledge levels. We were shocked to find that 70% of the trainers calling themselves professionals with at least 2 years' experience couldn't pass our relatively simple exam. And so as a result of this, I realized that there was a real lack in education, and that's how Animal Behavior College was born. And it started off really as an idea that we were going to use it to staff all of these stores where I needed obedience trainers, but I realized very quickly that it had the potential to be a better business on a whole host of different levels than the one I was in. And it proved to be true, because by the time the buyout occurred with Petco in 2004, Animal Behavior College was a standalone entity and bigger than what they were buying. So it ultimately wound up to be through a combination of luck and, I guess, a little skill and surrounding myself with some great people, being in the right place at the right time, which I guess is luck, where I am today, which is we've got a school that teaches animal-related careers in all 50 states and every Canadian province.
I love it. It really serves a huge purpose, and I've heard the Petco story just from some of the Petco people that I know, and it's astounding to think that it wasn't that long ago that we didn't have resources like what we do today in the Animal Behavior College. Now, I also want to say you've clearly seen the industry kind of grow up, and you've seen it gone from, as you've pointed out, you know, people just saying, oh, yeah, I train my dog, so I'm a trainer. Now we have not only your courses, but, you know, we've got TV shows, we've got magazines, you know, all these things devoted just to that aspect of being a pet parent. What have been some of the biggest changes and things you've seen along the way that you've, you know, kind of gone, huh, okay, this is where it's going?
Yeah, you know, I think that I've been training professionally since about 1980. So, you know, that's a reasonably good chunk of time now. By 1980, I think it is safe to say that the vast majority of people that I ran into, admittedly it's anecdotal, but I did work with quite a few people, looked at their pets as being members of the family, but I would say that it would be a small M for member. Whereas now, there is a much greater focus on people looking at their pets as real members of the family. People spend more on their pets now than they did 20 or 30 years ago, even considering, you know, factoring in for inflation and all of that. And consider doing things with their pets that they really would not have considered back in the day. I mean, in 1980, there were really no doggy daycare centers.
Right.
There were very few pet sitters. Dog walking was something that you might find in very posh areas on the Upper West or East Side in New York City, but it wasn't nearly as extensive and spread out as it is today. So certainly people's willingness to spend more and to devote more time to their pets is a big change. And training methods have also undergone a huge change. Since, you know, the 70s and the 80s. Back then, the vast majority of training methods were almost all compulsion-based. You know, without wanting to get into too much behavioral jargon, simply put, dogs were taught to listen primarily out of avoidance of some form of correction. Whereas today, there is a much greater focus on focusing on the positive. You know, instead of looking to punish the dog for an inappropriate behavior, positively reinforce a correct response, redirect as opposed to punish, things like that, which it's changed attitudes and it's changed the way dogs are changed. There's also a huge debate in the training world as a result, but without question, training methodologies have evolved and have become far more positive than they ever were in the past.
Absolutely. You
know, I'm sorry, I don't want to...
No, that's okay. Well, and you know, the thing that you know, jumps out at me when I have those discussions, and you know, I've talked with Victoria Stillwell and others about this, is, and you brought this up early, is we're no longer looking at pets as possessions or just animals. They are family members. And the notion of taking a family member and forcing them, or, you know, pulling them around and, you know, doing things to intimidate to get a certain behavior, you know, we don't do that to our kids. We don't, you know, or at least nobody should be.
Well, one
hug. Yeah, that's, yeah. So I, you know, when it does make sense that it is evolving, especially, you know, over this past decade where we've seen this move of attitudes of, hey, this is a member of my family. I don't like the way you're treating a member of my family. So I'm not going to go to a place that uses that type of, you know, redirection, if you want to be generous, you know, and call it that. But Steve, I love everything. I've got so many questions, and I got to tell you, my email is blowing up. Is it possible to hang you over for one more segment?
Oh, sure. I'd love to stay.
Perfect. Folks, such great info here. We've got a legend in the industry. It's one of the great things about being a Pet World Insider. We get to talk to great people like Steve Applebaum. He's going to be right back with us. We're going to have more here on Pet World Insider after a few quick messages.
Pet Chats is a greet-and-treat video phone that lets you be with your pet from anywhere. When you're at work or on vacation or just feel like checking in, you can connect with your pet from your phone, tablet, or PC. Hear and see each other while apart. Reward them with snacks and sniffs they love. Record and share fun videos. Play even when away. Never miss a moment with Pet Chats. Pre-order yours today at PetChats.com. That's PetChats with a Z.com.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
SlimDoggy.com is a place to go to read about all things related to canine fitness, nutrition, and health. Be sure to download the SlimDoggy app in the App Store as well. With information on over 2,000 dog foods, it tells you how many calories your dog is burning and how much you should feed them to keep them healthy. Visit SlimDoggy.com for more information. Hello, everybody. Robert Semro here with an important question for pet owners. Are you a Pet World Insider? If not, you should be. It's free, and Pet World Insider has a lot of great information for all types of pet owners. We have audio and video segments, as well as a library of great articles from pet experts to help keep you informed about the latest information in the pet world. Visit Pet World Insider online at PetWorldInsider.com.